Hey guys, this is Naeem, and you've reached the Mosaic Church podcast. So excited that you're part of our listening community, and I'd love for you to be even more connected. So check out our website. There's more content there, and there's more opportunities for you to get connected in our ministries and events as well. Also, love for you to share this content. If this is blessed to you, I know that God wants to use you to bless other people with it. So share this podcast, if you will. Lastly, would you consider supporting this ministry? This is made possible by other people's generosity, and I'd love for you to pay it forward. Join us to reclaim the message and the movement of Jesus together. So would you consider giving to this ministry? I know that God is able to do immeasurably more through us when we come together. Thank you so much. God bless you. Enjoy.
I'm telling you, this thing, hey, good morning. How are we feeling this morning? How are we feeling? Good? Awesome. Hey, we got Livestream joining us, and then Metro is in the house as well, our second campus. Can we make some noise for them? Make some noise. What's up? Woo! Let's get louder. Can we do that? Yeah. And one, two, three, go! Woo! They're yelling too. It's great. It's awesome. Hey, so glad you're here. If you're our guest here, here's the deal. We've been in a conversation called Courageous, and we're talking about really looking into what will it take for us to step into some of the things that we've wanted to do in our lives, but it's going to take courage. It's going to take courage. So last week, we talked about courageous relationships, and man, I got a lot of great feedback on that, and just the hard things to do, but man, if we were to step into those, we would begin to actually experience the life that we want. And so this morning, I want to continue the conversation. If you are a guest here, checking out Mosaic, glad you're here. This is like week two, and I want to talk about courageous values. But really quick, though, I want to mention to you, I overheard a conversation in my house. Okay, I have two kids and one wife, and I do. I mean, I do come from a Muslim background, so. And anyways, if you don't know what that means, you don't need to know. Yeah, so I heard a conversation, and I think it was my daughter talking to her mom, my wife, same person, and she said, "Hey, I think we should stop eating gum." And I thought, "Oh, is there a health thing? I mean, I'm kind of a health guy." And she was like, "Because it's bad for the environment." And I was like, "You know what? Forget this. I am about the environment. Okay, I really am about the environment. But gum, friends, gum." Because I tell you, with the same beautiful daughter, though, she was anti-straws, okay? And then we tried the paper straw thing. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, there's something wrong with that. You know why? It doesn't work. You do realize that, right? Who's with me here? Anybody with me? Yeah, it doesn't work. It's missing something. Plastic. It's missing because it'll make it work. Anyways. So I'm really about that. I love that. But there is a tension, right? There is a tension. Now I come from the Middle East, and I grew up in Pakistan, and I was visiting Pakistan several years ago, and people there love their country. In fact, if you don't know this, Pakistan was connected to India, and India and Pakistan, they were together. Pakistanis, who were not called Pakistanis at the time, they wanted to leave. The Muslims wanted to leave and start their own country. And so they left India, and just as spite, they called it a name called Pakistan, which, if you don't know the language, Pak means pure land. So they basically were saying was, our country, our land is pure, you guys stuck. And so that's how the tension was. So even now, they hate each other, and I can't even get a visa to India. Did you guys know that? Because I'm Pakistani. Anyways, so anywho, all that to say, they love their country. But what I noticed in Pakistan when I was there is that they trash it. They trash it. They talk about loving it. They talk about it. In fact, people in Pakistan who really are social, they're conscious about the environment, conscious about the fact that you're trashing the country, they write about this stuff. They're all about like nationalism. They're all about this idea of like, oh, our country, a beloved country. It's called Pak, which means pure. Pakistan, but they trash it. They have this intention of kind of like this is the life, this is the experience, this is the country we have, this is how it's amazing, but they don't take care of it. Like, so their intention and their behavior, two different things. In fact, I'll tell you something. There is food, a particular, it's like a street food kind of a thing, and it's called paan. Okay, can you say paan? pan, okay? Not naan. Some of you guys are like, naan is different, so you know. But pan, if you're Latino, you're like, ah, bread. Nope. It's not bread either. It's not bread, okay? It's this. Let me show it to you, okay? It looks like this, okay? It's this. It's like a street food kind of a thing. It's got tobacco in it as well. It's got some other things as well. But here's what it does. You eat this thing, or you consume it, or chew it. It's kind of like chewing tobacco, okay? But you spit it out, okay? And then when you spit it out, it looks like this. Let me just show you this. It looks like that. Disgusting, right? Huh? Let me show you another picture. Right. This thing is outlawed. This street food is outlawed in Kuwait, especially because of the Middle East, and there's a lot of expats there, but in Pakistan, in parts of Pakistan as well, in India, it's banned. Why? Because it's like this, people love this, and here's what happens. There are laws against it, but so the same people who break the laws and buy them and eat this thing and trash the country are also like all about all the other things that this country is supposed to do and, you know, and just love their country. It's amazing to me. They outlawed this, right? Now, why am I talking about this? Because I think when it comes to our lives, there's certain things like our intention is we love this, we love my life, I love people, I love, you know, making a difference, I love, but we don't really do what we say we love. We just don't do it. Because you know this and I know this, right? You know this, I know this. It does not matter at some point what people believe or say they believe or intention or thoughts or heart. You can have a mission statement. I mean, it doesn't matter. Behavior is what makes the difference. And you know this and I know this. A culture, right? A culture, like a vibe that you get. Like you walked into Mosaic. You got a vibe. I'll tell you what it wasn't. It wasn't because of our intention. It wasn't because our culture was created by our band or our banners or whatever we say or our belief. No, it's created by behavior. Culture of an organization, church, people, group, whatever, it's directly connected to. It's created solely by the behavior of its people. So the Church of Jesus, whatever vibe, whatever you felt before, maybe you're like, you know, like just checking out church, whatever you have sensed, it's not because of our belief or intention or heart. It's because of our behavior. And so behavior, I hate to say it, matters. And behavior actually reveals a lot of what you truly believe. Because the truth is, culture is created by what we care about. And we really do what we care about. Now, why is this such a harsh conversation? Because if you and I are going to live into step into an experience or live the life that we want to live, it's going to take courage to kind of face ourselves in the mirror and go, you know what? I know I say I do this, but I really don't do this. Like I say I care, but your actions don't really show that you care. At some point, we got to stop and go, okay, if I want to live a certain kind of life, I've got to stop and go, what are the values? What kind of culture am I really creating? See, some of us, we're living a life that you really don't like, honestly. You don't like it. It's not just the season of life you don't like. You just don't like it. You just don't like it. You want to change it. The only way to change it is connected to you got to change what you care about. You got to change the kind of posture of your life, the kind of big idea of your life. Like you have to have a mind frame, a worldview that changes radically, and then your behavior has to match it. So what I want to do is I want to go and look into a passage of scripture that it's a story that. You might have heard before. It's in the Gospels. So if you got a Bible, grab that. If you got a device that you can pull up the scriptures, that'd be great. If you don't, no problem. We're going to be in Mark chapter 2. Can you say chapter 2? Chapter 2. Okay, you can say that. That's good. We'll put it on the screen for you. I'm going to be talking through the Passion Translation because, like I said, I've been saying it for a while. I'm really digging this translation. Okay, let's jump in. You guys ready? No one's ready. Okay, we're going to go. Several days later, Jesus entered into Capernaum. The news quickly spread that he was back in town. Soon, there were so many people crowded inside the house to hear him, there was no more room, even outside the door. Now, let's stop right here. Okay, so what just happened here? Let me give you some context. So several days later, people find out that Jesus is back home. Why is this such a big deal? I mean, he's just back home. No. But the reason is because up to this point, actually right before this point, Jesus had done some really amazing things. I mean, he did amazing things all the time, but no. He had done some like, oh my goodness. Like number one, first of all, what he did was he had cast out demons from people. Like serious amount of demons. Like he was the guy, like who are you going to call? He was the dude. He became the guy in the region. I mean, he began to actually, if you look back to the, from this up to this point, he was casting out demons all day long. Like it was a thing. He became the guy. So people knew this guy could do it. Now, back in those days, people would cast out demons. They would try to do that. I mean, there were Jewish priests who would do rituals and things like that. I mean, actually, a historian, Josephus, talks about the rituals they used to do. But Jesus didn't do any rituals. If you remember, he was like, he didn't have a suit. He didn't have a whatever. He didn't have a thing, incense. Let's get the candles going. Let's say a few things. No. He would walk in. What would happen? Demon would start talking to him. What are you doing here? Why us? And he would like, shut up, get out. Like, that was the deal. Like that was his thing. And people were like, really? Really? That's it? Because he was doing it so fast. So this is just so you know, there's a lot of expectation when people show up at this house. There's a lot of expectation. Also, what he'd done was he had healed a leper. Okay? Now he didn't heal the leper like, hey, you're healed. Stay away from me. Ugh. No, what did he do? Do you remember? He like touched the guy. Now, I just want you to stop and say, like, there were faith healers back in the day. They just wouldn't touch the people who were infected. Jesus, like, give me a hug. You know, like, what are you doing? And then I'm sure people were, like, waiting around for him to get leprosy, and nothing happened. It wasn't a transfer thing. He just healed him. So all that to say, when they find out the same dude's coming, he's coming back home proven. He's coming back home proven that he is the man. He can actually do this. So guess what? The world shows up. Everybody shows up. There's a marching band. They're there. They're showing up full force. Okay? Now, I don't know who, invited Jesus to his home. It's not his home. It's not his mom's home. So whoever had this idea, they probably were like, great, this was a bad idea. Why did we do this? Because there's no room at all, and everyone is coming to get some Jesus. And you know what I mean by that? Like they're coming to get their own healing, their own blessing, because they know this guy can what? He can deliver. So there's so much expectations. There's a crowd around them. Everybody's, have you been in a crowd, right? You've been in a crowd? I mean, have you struggled through a crowd? Have you tried to get what you want? Have you heard of Christmas shopping? Anybody? Right? We understand that. We understand desperation. Could you imagine if whatever you're facing right now could be healed by one guy, you meeting one guy, what would it take for you to meet him? Who needs to get in your way? You will step on your kid to get to Jesus just to fix whatever the deal is. People were like serious about this. It was so crowded. So what happens? Let's go on. It says, while Jesus was preaching the word of God, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man. But when they arrived, when they realized they couldn't even get near him because of the crowd, they went up on the top of the house and tore away the roof above Jesus' head. This is amazing. And when they had broken through, they lowered the paralyzed man on the stretcher right down in front of him. Now, what is going on? Number one, let's go back to the owner of the house. What are you doing? What are you doing? Who's paying for this? Jesus, you better take up an offering or something. Like, we got renovations. What's going on? The other is, we think in this Western world that this is crazy. Let me just tell you a little bit. It's not crazy. Like, just being, I'm not that I'm speak for all Middle Eastern people, but like, in Pakistan and India, like the whole idea of like a lot of people there and people just doing whatever it takes to get people to wherever is not unheard of. Like back, back home, we didn't have like capacity laws. You know what those are? Like those are like, that's a joke. Like, what does that mean? No. It's like, how many people can we get on the bus? 2,000. Let's do it. Let's do a pyramid thing. Let's get whatever. So people, if these four guys are going up to the roof, you know what the other people are thinking? I should have thought of that. Why did we not do that? Why did we not? Here, catch, baby. Like, you could just throw the baby or throw the person to Jesus. If he touches them, he's healed. You know what I'm saying? You're like, ha-ha, okay, hot potato healing. I don't know. What I'm saying is they were all about figuring out how to get him. So this is not unheard of. So they start doing this, and he brings them down. Now, again, by the way, I think this is funny, maybe, or cruel, but the guy was what? What was his thing? He was what? Paralyzed, okay? So how much time do you think he's spent above ground? Not much. So the guys are like, hey, I got an idea. What? Let's go to the roof. Right? And the guy's like, I don't know about that. I don't know. I have a height thing. No, let's do it. I'm sure one punk buddy of his, he was like, dude, you're paralyzed. What's the worst that could happen? Like, wait. We'll drop you? Like, what? What? You're like, you can't walk? Like, and I'm sure there was interactions. Like, guy was like, when I get healed, I'm going to kick your butt first. Like, that's what's going to happen. Either way, they bring him down, right? Now, you've heard this story before. I think we've heard it preached or whatever, or taught a lesson, the moral of the story. I think it's been maybe it's not what I think we've missed the big point here of the story, okay? So we just keep on going. The idea is, okay, so they bring him down here, and what happens? Jesus responds, and the first thing he does not say is like, wow, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is happening. I'm so sorry, you know? No. What does he do? What happens? Verse 5, he says, when Jesus saw, help me out with this, Metro, help me out with this. When Jesus saw the what? Extent of whose faith? There. Who's there? The four guys. Now, I just want you to know, there was a crowd of people. Remember that? There was a crowd of people. Everybody's faith expectation was at the door. People are climbing over each other. They're showing up. I just want to tell you, now, if you would just add up faith, you got a couple of hundred people and then four dudes. Jesus looks at the amount of their faith, not the crowd's faith, not the dude's faith, their faith, and response. Just want you to know that there's something to this story that's beyond like, oh, you know, just come to Jesus and you get healed. No, just make sure you get to Jesus and figure it out. No, there's something there. It's their faith. He looks at all the faith and goes, that four people faith is bigger. Just so you know, the extent of their faith, because it had something to do with action, didn't it? Something to do with not just thinking and praying about something. They actually did it. They weren't like, Jesus, make a way. Oh no, I got an idea. We're gonna make a way. Because so many of us, if you live the Christian life long enough, you wait around looking at your mountain going, oh God, just remove the mountain. Because if you heard the verse, right? Seed of a mustard seed could move what? A mountain. Here's the problem. In reality, you need that faith to climb over the mountain. Like Jesus, like, I need you to go through it. I'm not moving it. And so many of us live our lives waiting for the mountain to move. And so we don't move. So here, it's their faith because it's action. It's connected, not thought, behavior, intent. Not thought, intent, or heart. No, behavior. They do it. They do this. So what happens? Well, he looks at them. And what does he do? He's offended by it? No. He looks at them, he looks at the paralyzed guy, and then he says, my son, your what? Your sins are forgiven. To which the guy was like, no, wrong guy. I don't have a guilt thing. I have a paralyzed thing. I don't need forgiveness. I need to walk. I mean, I'll probably get into trouble later by walking, but then I'll ask for forgiveness. Right now, though, I really would love some movement. And then Jesus is like, just looks at the guy and just says the same thing. Your sins are forgiven. And what happens? Verse 6, this offended some of the religious scholars who were present. It's so easy to to offend them, by the way. Okay, they reasoned among themselves. Who does he think he is speaking? I mean, like, who does he think? And let's try it again. Whew, reading Jesus. Okay. Who does he think he is to speak this way? This is blasphemy for sure. Only God himself can forgive sins. Which Jesus is like, okay. And then what happens? Verse 8 says, Jesus supernaturally perceives their thoughts. All right, let's just stop right there. Okay, just write this down. If you think in front of Jesus, he hears you. It's just a thing. There's no personal space with Jesus. He hears everything. Okay, so he goes, and he said to them, why are you being so skeptical? Which is easier to say? To this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or stand up and walk. But to convince you that the Son of Man has been given authority to forgive sins, I say to this man, stand up, pick up your stretcher, and walk. You see, what's interesting about this is that Jesus is not making a difference. He doesn't see the difference between us as a physical state and a spiritual state. Like, he's looking at us in multidimensional reality, which means this, is that we think that we need a particular thing. We need physical healing. We need something that's tangible. It's something that we can tell our minds, this is reality. I am not living like this anymore. I'm this kind of person. I've been set free from this. Why? Because you've been set free because you no longer have either psychological, spiritual, or physical, actually, limitations. We think that way. With Jesus, it's so different. In Jesus, it's not like, oh, you come to Jesus and you get a healing. No. When you come to Jesus, there's something so much more going on. So he tries to say that. He's like, no. When I heal you, you don't need healing. What you need is a holistic sozo, which means healing, which means a healing that's beyond your physical reality. What you need is you need to be made whole. So when Jesus, we talk about the message of Jesus, he comes in, he doesn't come to just give us forgiveness. He comes to give us a level of life that you and I will never understand. And so when he invites us into a relationship, he talks to us and he interacts with us. And when you hear God say, I forgive you, your sins are forgiven, you are healed in more ways than you will ever understand. More ways than we'll ever understand. But see, so often what we think, though, is it's like this. It's like, come get your Jesus. Have you ever heard that? Like, come get your Jesus. Come get forgiveness. Come get healing. Come get. And so what an idea is sometimes, and what we fail to stop and just consider, is that the message of Jesus becomes the message of come and get. And the message right here, what he's saying is, it's never that message. It's come and become. Like, come and become a totally different person. Like, it's not a message of like, oh, no. It's not an invitation to believe. It's an invitation to become someone you never thought you could become. That's the message of Jesus. That's why we want to reclaim the message of Jesus here at Mosaic. We talk about it. We want to reclaim what it looks like to be a church, what it looks like to be a people. Because here's the idea, guys. I mean, I know I come from a different background, so I don't know a whole lot. I mean, I'm coming into Christianity, and I met Jesus before I met, like, the church, and then I came to church. So I get this. I might have got it backwards. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. But all I'm saying to this is that when I read the scriptures, the invitation of Jesus is never to come and get. In fact, it's never to come and get your blessings. It's never hashtag blessed. It's never that. He never said, hey, come follow me and I will make you what? What did he actually say? I will make you fishers of what? Men. Never. I will make you better fishermen. I will make you better. I will make you better. Hashtag living your best life. Let's get Jesus on board. Like, I get the idea of living out your destiny and purpose, and I'm all about that. But I just want you to know, let's not take the words of Jesus and change them. It's never been about getting your blessing. It's about being one. It's always been about being one. The invitation is, come follow me, and guess what? I want you to lose your life so you can what? Find it. He's like, no, but I want to just find it and lose nothing. By the way, you know, if you haven't lost anything to gain Christ, I don't even know if you gain Christ. I mean, because the reality is that the truth of the scriptures is like, listen. This life that you want, you've been tainted by these values, and your behavior does matter. And the world you're living in, the culture you've created around you, your work, your family, your spirituality, is connected to what you really care about. And what you really care about, and I hate to say it, but you really care about, is yourself and fulfilling your purpose. And here's the thing, I've played a part in that. I have said, hey, come fulfill your purpose. Come, let's talk about Jesus giving you purpose. And in the midst of that, lost all the words of Jesus, that it's never about that. Let me give you some contagious values, okay? The contagious values are like these statements that you don't even realize, and I don't even realize that I used to live by, okay? These are a few, okay? I'll give you three. Number one is this idea of how can I get? How can I get? The next one is how can I win? And then how can I find? How can I get? How can I win? How can I find? How can I get? How can I win? How can I find? How can I get? How can I get to the next level? How can I get that? How can I get approval? How can I get recognition? How can I get admiration? How can I get more followers? How can I get more likes on my Instagram? Please. How can I get? You don't even realize it that you're doing that. The people who showed up, who were crowding around, trying to get ahead, what they were trying to do? They were trying to not do anything evil. They were just trying to get what they could get because they had a need. They showed up to Jesus, but they didn't care about all the other things going on. The guys who showed up, all of a sudden, their mentality was totally different because they were actually busy doing something else. Everybody else was like, I'm here to get mine. And the other idea, how can I win? Have you ever met someone who's always competing? Anybody? Why are they always like related to us? Anybody know that? Why? What is the problem? Don't you want to just say, you win. I think we should make a post. You should make a post on Instagram that says, you win to everyone. Like, you win. I don't want to play this game anymore. I don't want to do this. But the truth is we live our lives sometimes like that. How can I win? How can I be? And what that means is, how can I be more successful? How can I get ahead of the line? How can I be more important than you? How can I get more busy? How can I get more clients? How can I be better? How can I be? And I get it, because this idea of like our lives in the Western world, in any kind of world, is how can I win? I want to be #winning. I want to win. And I get that. I understand that. But if that becomes the quality and of your life, it becomes the value of your life, and it becomes the value of my life, then I live a life to win, because I believe in winners and losers, and I want you to be a loser because I want to be a winner. It's contagious. Then how can I find? Some of us, we fall into that. And it happens because of trauma, because of some things that have happened. You just get into the zone of like, how can I find peace? How can I just find some security? How can I just find some stability? How can I find a breath in my life right now? How can I just find a moment that everybody just leave me alone? How can I find? And I understand that, but you just can't live there, you know? You can't live there, because if you live your life going, okay, how can I find this, that, you're just gonna keep searching. And for so many of us, our lives are spent searching. It's the same idea with all these guys, all these people showing up at that house. Let me give you the opposite, I think. And these are courageous values. That means they're going to take some effort. Hard questions. Game changers, though. Number one, how can I give? How can I give back? How can I give? How can I add? And how can I help? How can I give? Well, Naeem, what does that mean? How can I give you more confidence? How can I give you more support? How can I give it my work? How can I give more peace to someone? I don't even have it. That's fine. How can I give? How can I give back the grace that's been given to me, the opportunity that's been given to me? How can I give recognition back? How can I give? You see, it changes your value system. And some of us, we're raising kids and we're in danger of raising them with not this value, with the value of how can you win, how can you get, and you know, how can you just do all the things that are all about you? But here it changes it. How can I give? How about how can I add? Man, what does that mean? I mean, could you imagine what your life would look like? Friends, let's listen. When you walked in with like, how can I add? Not add to the drama. How can I add to someone's peace? How can I add to someone's joy? How can I add to someone's profit? How can I add to someone's success? How can I add? And for some of us, you're like, but man, I am lacking. I get it. But what's crazy is what you need is separate from what you have to give. And you don't want to hold on to what you have to give just because you don't have what you need. Does that make sense? But if someone else needs what you have in this hand, why wouldn't you give? Why wouldn't you add? If even though this hand is empty, you still have this hand to give. And God's like, can I just tell you? It was the extent of their faith. These guys, the four guys, that's why. All of that faith in all of those people, all the expectations, all the passion, all the, yes, God, please help me. All of that was minute compared to their extent of their faith. Jesus is saying, that's the life right here. If you live your life always trying to get ahead, to get a blessing, you're missing the whole point. It's not about getting everything you can get. It's about adding to other people. And then lastly, how can I help? This, friends, I'll tell you, for me, this changed the game for me. I heard this several years ago, and I use it a lot. I use it a lot because sometimes I get into frustrating situations. Anybody getting frustrated? Anybody? This crowd, what about you guys? Okay? Let's be honest here. Okay, Metro, you guys can definitely relate. Okay, let me just ask Metro because these guys are amazing. Have you ever wanted to just cuss someone out? Right? Anybody over here? Anybody? Okay, you know what? I feel like you guys are too religious right now. Okay? So let's just shake it off. Woo. Exactly. How many of you want to just cuss someone out for Jesus, of course? Yes, right? This morning. People. Woo. Can't live without him. Can't throw him off the cliff. No. Here's my frustration. My frustration is when I get into situations where I just want to either fix it or I want to get someone else to get over it. My posture in life is just like is tainted. It's not Christ-like in any shape. This question. How can I help? Helps my soul. If it doesn't help any of you, it has helped my soul. It helps my work, for sure. Helps my family life, for sure. My marriage, for sure. My friends, for sure. And sometimes I don't even say it to the person. I just say it to me. I walk into a situation and I'm so frustrated and I go, how can I help? Because I'm not thinking that. What I'm feeling is, how can I don't know what that was, but that was something. How can I help changes everything. How can I help out? Not how can I fix. What would happen? You might even get a raise. I don't even know. If you go back to work this week and your mentality is, how can I help? Whatever, how can I help? How can I help? And you're like, dude, they don't pay me enough. I know. But wouldn't it be sad to live a life, to live a quality of life, to become a person that was connected directly to your pay? What a sad life. Doesn't even matter how rich you are. Does your character really need to be connected to your currency? No. Man, what would happen if you start raising kids like that? Hey, how can I help? We just help. We just help. We help out. We help out. Any situation, we help out. Whatever we can do, we help out. Man, that changes the game, friends. It changes the game. It changes the game for Mosaic. That's why we have hundreds of volunteers here. You know why? Because people are like, how can I help? How can I help? How can I help? Why? Because when we help, we all of a sudden tap into something that's so much bigger than us, that intuitively our souls desire that. You and I want to be a part of something that's bigger, want to make a bigger impact. We want to do something together. There is a joy in sitting back and going, oh my goodness, we created this. But it starts with you and I going, how can I help? What would happen? What did happen with these four guys? I mean, I don't even know if the guy knew the paralyzed guy. I don't know what happened. I don't know. But at some point, they heard something in their souls that says, we need to what? Help. We just need help. Yeah. But that means I'm not the one getting in line to meet Jesus or to, you know, get my healing. Yeah. I'm taking myself off the list right now. Yeah, but don't you need a healing? Yes. But I'm taking myself off. Why? Because I'm here to help. Friends, it would change the game for us. It really, really would. What would it look like? What would it look like? Now, if you walked in, you probably got one of these, right? And you're thinking, I know what you're doing. You want me to volunteer. To that, my friends, I would say, yes. Of course I do. This is not even a bait and switch. This is a switch, bait, whatever. This is all of it. That's why it's not like I sneaked it out. It was on your chair. Okay? No one was sitting there. It was on your chair. Why do we do this? We do this twice a year. I talk about volunteering. Okay? And here's where I do want you to do this. I want you, both campuses, because at Metro, you guys need 50 new volunteers. Here, we need 150 new volunteers. Okay? 150. And you got all kinds of things and positions and that you can be a part of, okay? But I just want you to see the joy in all of this and the fun in all of this in actually coming together. What happens when people just serve together? And in fact, our next generation wants to tell you and show you. So let's watch this.
Hi, my name is Noah, and I'm here with Claire and Sophia. Did you know that over 100 volunteers serve every Sunday? Let's go meet some of them.
James, why do you like volunteering here at Mosaic?
Because it's a great way to interact and meet people and get connected here at Mosaic.
Good answer.
And this is Cindy. She's one of our incredible volunteers. She is, oh my gosh, a greeter! And this is Cindy. She's one of our incredible greeters here. She will always make you feel welcome with a smile and a wave.
Okay, our next set of volunteers is the cafe team. They serve free, delicious coffee.
So this is one of our underground people. Hold on, okay. Should I say people or what? Can you just keep it together? Okay. This is Bryson. He's part of our underground youth group, and he's also on production. So if you want to serve on production or underground, you should do that. Check it out, just like him.
My favorite part, M Kids. So here we have third and under, where they learn the basics to having a relationship with God. And we always get activities that make them birds. Birds. Birds.
This is only one campus. We also have one down in Plaza Midland called Metro. Let's go send it to them. There you go.
Yes, that's right, Nora. We have the exact same.
Nope.
Okay. Yes, that's right. We are here at our second campus. My name is Kristen, and I am at Mosaic Metro here in Plaza Midwood. If you have not been yet, come on by and check us out. We have the exact same volunteer teams that you guys just talked about. So if you want to come serve in cafe or be a greeter or production team or on the worship band or whatever you want to do, we will find a spot for you. Actually, service is already going on. So come on, let's go take a peek. Got one more thing to show you, because while you guys are jamming out upstairs, there's actually a lot of fun going on downstairs. Let's go see. Awesome, guys. So down here in MKIDS, we've got so many more volunteer spots and positions for you. If you want to rock babies, play with toddlers, teach our preschoolers or elementary kids, everything is laid out for you. We will make it as easy as possible. We promise. All we need is you to say yes to coming down and serving in MKIDS here at Metro.
Isn't Metro great? Love those guys. Wait, where'd you get that food?
All the food from the Goofy.
Okay.
What food? Actually, all volunteers get free food in the pantry. So, I'm a volunteer. Can I enjoy this?
So today we covered so many of the different volunteer roles, but definitely not all of them, because there's so many more that you can join. So come, be a part of our family.
Woo. Man, it's so much fun. That's our future. That's our future. Or the next Charlie's Angels. I don't know. But hey, just a way to just let you guys know, it really is a part of being a part of a family. And for those of you who serve, I just want to say, because there's so many people who do serve and you're watching this, again, even the camera guy who's actually capturing this, I mean, everybody's serving. I just want to say thank you for living your life, going through all the things that everybody else goes through, but then showing up, because you're making a way for all of us and for people who are joining us live stream from all over the place who might not even get to experience all this, but you, because you serve at both campuses, you are allowing us to be a certain kind of church that's reclaiming the message and movement of Jesus. So if you've never realized this, or have never heard this before, in the story, you're the people, you're the four guys bringing everybody else to Jesus so they can get their healing. So thank you so much for doing that. So that means if you're serving coffee, if you're hanging out with kids, if you are doing connections, parking, if you're leading a small group, all the volunteers, thank you so much for being a blessing for so many people. For those of you who are thinking, you know what, I might want to join the team, here's the great thing about this, okay? Both campuses, we are on the same kind of a schedule. This really is like every other week. You serve every other week, and people usually sign up for like about 6 months. So you serve how many times? Do the math. That's what? 12 times. And so people also switch positions, whatever. You know, they try out one thing, and they go, I don't want to do this. So here's what I want to ask you. Both campuses, if you guys would grab one of these. Can you grab one of these? Please. Grab one of these. You're like, I'm brand new. I'm not doing this. Just grab one of these. That's fine. You don't have to do anything else. Okay, grab one of these, and then give it to the person next to you. Just give it to the person next to you. Just get it out of your hands. Now, they're probably going to give you one, too. Okay, they're probably going to give you one, too. So, now, if you've done that, everybody get one of those still? If you still have one of these? You still have one of these, okay? It's a cute way of saying everybody gets one of these. Okay, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to consider joining one of the teams, okay? Joining one of the teams. Like I said, we need 150 here. We need about 50 at Metro in all different areas in our programs. So, love for you to consider that. Pray for that. And in fact, I just want to pray for that too. But this is a great way to actually get connected here at Mosaic. So Let me pray for us. Number one, for our values and in your world, but then also your consideration of joining the team here. Let me pray. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you so much for our lives. Thank you, God, for allowing us to look at the scriptures in a way that were intended to create a better humanity. God, I love the fact that the stories in the scriptures are not about how great you are, because we don't need a book for that. But the stories in the scriptures are about how great we could become as we partner with you, and how you've made us in your image to be more than we even dream, imagined, or hoped for. Father, I ask you, would you move us out of these values that so consume our lives? The value of just of like getting and winning and trying to find and searching and always searching. God, I pray that we become people who go, how can I give back to what I've been given? How can I add, and how can I help? Father, I pray that we do that in our households. I do pray that we do that in our workspace, in our companies, in our organizations, in our offices. God, it would change us and the culture there. I pray as leaders of people in any leadership capacity, God, we would move away from serving our agenda and our mission to actually serving the people around us. God, I pray for that. And Father, I pray also for the people who are going to sign up today. I know that they're debating, they're thinking. God, just would you help them? Would you help them? Would you lead them? And God, I pray against the anxiety, the fear, the awkwardness, the I'm not quite sure, all the questions. Because I know, God, when we step into what you have for us, it's always dark, but it lights up every time we take a step. Because you've told us, be strong and courageous, for you're there everywhere we go. So, God, we get to choose where we go, and we choose to move forward. So, God, I pray, would you lead us? Would you lead us? Would you lead us? In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv.